like a motion on number two? Item number two? Counselor, sorry, Simone.
That council move into an in-camera meeting of council at 4:10 pursuant to section 239 of Municipal Act 2001 as amended for the following reasons. Item A, section 239 2D, labor relations or employee negotiations. Item B, section 239 2B, personal matters about an identifiable individual, including municipal or local board employees.
That's good, thank you. And a seconder on that? Counselor Reno, all in favor? And that carries. Can I get a motion? Can I get a motion to resume the meeting? Counselor Prue, seconded by Counselor Simone. All in favor? And that carries. Let us stand now for the national anthem. This past couple of weeks has been a busy time for the mayor's office. I participated in a ribbon cutting ceremony for the grand opening of the pool place, the annual general meeting of Community Living Essex County, a teleconference session on Bill 108 changes, and the More Homes, More Choices Act, the Bellevue Birdies and Bogies fundraising event, a golf tournament in support of the house. And on a lighter note, invitations to represent Amherstburg in a pasta eating contest at the Via Italia Italian Festival in Windsor, and at the Mayor's Haggis Hurl at the Kingsville Highland Games. The Pool Palace offers a variety of supplies and equipment, so please pay them a visit. Mark and Heather will be pleased to serve you. The Community Living Annual General Meeting saw the election of a new board members and awards being handed out to volunteers, long service staff, and to individuals that receive support from Community Living and who have achieved significant accomplishments. Community Living continues to look for new members to assist in supportive roles. If interested, Ron Giafu, past president of the Community Living, can provide more details. As for my participation in the Kingsville Highland Games, in the Mayor's Haggis Hurl, representatives from six surrounding municipalities were not sure what to expect. Throwing a boiled bag made of sheep's intestine filled with unknown sheep parts was somewhat different. Didn't win, but it was an experience and an opportunity to promote our town. And lastly, for the pasta eating contest, I was joined by Mr. Roberts, our Director of Parks and Recreation. I can proudly say Amherstburg now has the pasta eating bragging rights. Yes, yours truly took down the competition. And now moving on to more serious business. Can we, item number eight, disclosure of pecuniary interests and general nature thereof. Are there any? Councillor MacArthur.
I need to declare a conflict on 6.1, but I need it split apart, the motion split apart, because my conflict only deals with one of it. 16, no.
Oh, you said 16.
No, 16.1. I work for Essex County, the Upper Tier Municipality, and so I got advice from the Integrity Commissioner, and I'm expressly prohibited from running for mayor or deputy mayor in that capacity. So by the same token, I can't vote on who the replacement should be for county council for mayor or deputy mayor, although I'm fine on the mayor's absence from council.
So noted. Are there any other disclosures? None noted. Now we'll move to the report out on the in-camera session this evening this evening.
Thank you, Deputy Mayor. Council met today for a special in-camera meeting at 4:08 p.m. and discussed two items as provided for under Section 239 of the Municipal Act. Item A was heard under Section 239(2)(d), and there's nothing further to report on this matter. Item B was heard under Section 239(2)(b) of the Act, and there's nothing further to report on at this time.
Okay, moving on to the minutes of the previous meeting. Can I get a motion on 10-1, 2, and 3? Motion by Councilor Reynolds, seconded. Councilor Simone, all in favor? Oh, question?
Yep.
Councilor Courtney.
I was actually, I missed that, so I wanted to read it just so I could familiarize myself. I was out of country. Just a simple little Cindy Price, Amoco, she was one of the speakers. It's got Cindy, it's Cindy Prince, I would presume, Amoco. So just a typo, that's all.
Okay, all in favor? And that carries. Moving on to item 11, delegates. And in the supplementary agenda, I believe we have a delegate. Mr. Nemeth. What we'll do is we'll bring 14-1 ahead as well, that ties in with Mr. Nemeth's presentation today.
I'm on you? Okay. I'd like to start by saying 100 years ago in North America, the population of the world was 1,500,000,000. Today, the population of the world is 7,500,000,000. And the population at that time of Canada was 8 million, and now we're hovering right around 35 million people. I would really like to know where we expect our wildlife to exist, especially when we're taking prime wildlife habitat and at a rate where wildlife can move on and adjust themselves, the same as we found when we did the Herb Gray Parkway, and we're all hearing about all the deer that were on Malden Road in everybody's backyard. The deer don't know where to go. And it's not just the deer. In this area here, in Emmitsburg, southwest Nigeria, we have more wildlife in this area, believe it or not, than anywhere else in southwest Nigeria for the size of the area that we're covering. But north of Elma, I would like to let everybody know I have photographed everything that exists in this area that might migrate through in that one area. And it wasn't just a fluke. This has been consistently happening for 17 years. What do we do when our habitat is gone and wildlife has no place to live? They're gonna die, and that's what's happening right now. In the last 40 years, wildlife has declined in North America, I don't know if you know or not, by 50%. And I'm not just saying this, I subscribe to Ontario Nature, and I get this, and this is what scientists I believe what's happening. We have to start acting. We have to start being responsible. We have to start, when we put in a development, we have to consider, well, what are we going to do for wildlife? We have to set some land aside and not call it a park, but call it a natural environment for our wildlife. And it has to be a certain percentage of land, because that's what we need. If wildlife is to continue to exist, if we need more habitat. The now I can start. Turtles are now among the most threatened groups of vertebrate animals worldwide, more so than birds, mammals, fish, amphibians. Approximately 61% of the world's 356 turtle species are threatened or already extinct. Last week, I took a ride from Low and Creek Road through onto Creek Road and the highway to Ducks on the Roof. There were 20 turtles in one drive that I counted on the road, and I took pictures of them. And I have a friend that's probably more heavy into the wildlife activity than I am, and he's doing the same thing, and he's counting more turtles besides. I've been watching turtles lay their eggs, but I don't know for what reason, probably because maybe it's warmer, it's out in the open, they're laying their eggs on the side of the road, they have nowhere to go. They gotta lay their eggs somewhere, and they don't have a choice. 50 taken from the Windsor Star, September 7th, 2012. Jeff Watson made this statement. The article was titled, Canada's First Priority Natural Area in Essex County. Jeff Watson said Essex County is important because we have the most species at risk of both plant and animals anywhere in Canada. And Essex County has the most fragmented habitat. I think we probably understand that with so much development going on. About 3% of the area protected as national park or conservation lands, which is the lowest amount of protected areas in any region in Ontario. I'm talking Essex County here. 3%. What's wildlife going to do with 3%? Bison in Western Canada. We've all read 150 years ago how the bison thundered across the prairies. Where are the bison now? In zoos and a few in North Dakota. And the homing pigeon at one time were so heavy when they go hunting, the hunters would put the gun on their hip and just shoot because the sky would go black. There wasn't a single homing pigeon left. They're figuring in 30 years, if we keep going the way we are, and you can check all my statistics. In 30 years, if we keep going the way we are, when you open up your window in the spring, when you want to listen to the birds going through, there won't be any. 30 years. Well, if wildlife is 50% of all wildlife is gone in the last 40 years, imagine what 30 more is going to do. There's no other ecosystem as productive or as valuable than a watershed anywhere on the globe. In 2012, figure this out. In 2012, the Ontario Ministry of Natural Resources made a statement that they're going to start restoring wetlands. There is no other ecosystem on the planet that is more productive than a wetland. Productive meaning different types of habitat. Birds and wildlife are habitat specific. If they don't have a certain type of habitat, I'm sorry, but they might die off because they won't reproduce. And wetlands are the most productive types, and they're so diversified, wildlife relies on those. We have to start saving our wetlands, we gotta put a priority on it, and we have to do it quickly. The Big Creek wetland drains 17,000 acres of farmland. It's needed for many, many reasons. There's multiple reasons why it's needed. The Big Creek wetland received undaunted reviews when studied in 2009 by the Ontario Ministry of Natural Resources and Forestry. Yet, to this very day, it is treated continually as an unwanted visitor. Jonathan Choquette said, and this guy's a scientist, said in his latest work, Motors to Watch Out for Turtles in Windsor Essex Roads. Choquette said that his latest work indicates multiple species of turtles, most of them considered at risk in Ontario, are dying under the tires of unaware area drivers. This statement was made by the Essex Region Conservation Authority, the people that we trust to try to protect and save our natural habitat and our wildlife. This was made during the 2009 Big Creek Watershed Study back then. What we found is that the richness of wildlife in the Big Creek marshes are far greater than exists in Point Pelee, Rondo, Long Point, and some of the other really important and large coastal marsh complexes on Lake Erie. Local Conservation Authority Watershed Restoration Director Matthew Child had said, the particular marsh is a standout. Child said, until the Big Creek area was studied for the new plan, the Essex Region Conservation Authority didn't have a full appreciation for what he called a really spectacular watershed. And you know, since they did this study, there isn't anything that's being done. Nothing's being done to protect it. We're relying on the Essex Region Conservation Authority, we're relying on Ontario Ministry of Natural Resources and Forestry to do this job. I'm not an ecologist, I'm not a biologist, I'm not an ornithologist, and here I am trying to protect wildlife because, and I'm not giving credit to myself, but nobody else is doing it. Like I said, we're Canadian, we're passive. Everything's okay until it's too late. We gotta start waking up. Like I said, I can come in if everybody wants. I can do a slideshow, and you only see the bird once, and the slideshow will take, or bird, anything. I'll do the birds, butterflies, dragonflies, white-tailed deer, mink, coyote, fox, whatever you would prefer, I'll put it all together. And you'll be watching the same slideshow an hour later. I sent a pamphlet of information.
Mr. Nemeth, you gotta start wrapping it up now.
Yeah, okay. I'll be about 2 minutes. I sent a pamphlet of information to our Prime Minister, to the Ontario Ministry of Natural Resources, and to the Ministry of Environment. I got this back from the Ministry of Environment, from the minister herself at that time. The Office of the Prime Minister forwarded your correspondence July 6th, this was 2017, for reply. I also note that you wrote to me on July 25th, 2017, regarding protection of the Big Creek watershed in Essex County, Ontario, proposing the creation of a new provincial park to protect 250 acres of land within the watershed. I regret the delay in responding. I appreciate your interest in conservation and your efforts to document wildlife within the Big Creek watershed. In Canada, conservation is shared responsibly between federal, provincial, and territorial governments. Environment and Climate Change Canada mandate includes species and habitat under the federal statutes, such as the Federal Species at Risk Act, and its jurisdiction primarily on federal lands and waters. However, land use and the protection of wetlands on non-federal lands largely fall under provincial and municipal jurisdictions through the mechanisms such as land use planning, zoning, and permitting enabled under Ontario's Planning Act. As the lands in question are not federal lands, I encourage you to continue to raise your concerns with the province of Ontario, the town of Amherstburg, and the Essex Region Conservation Authority. I don't know, who can I rely on? Is there anybody I can rely on? I can come back again and we can make some progress and there's something being done?
Mr. Nemeth.
There's land being vacant. You've
used up 2 minutes and then some, okay? So we'll let the councilors ask you
okay,
some questions.
I'll just finish reading the statement, then I'll be done. Furthermore, the Ontario Ministry of Resource and Forestry is responsible for the establishment and management of provincial parks in Ontario. I encourage you to follow up with the Elmer District Office's budget proposal to have the Big Creek watershed designated as a provincial park. The protection and conservation of wildlife is a federal concern and works with provincial agencies, municipalities, state owners to ensure that nature is protected across Canada, and particularly through a number of funding and other conservation programs. I appreciate your interest in conserving and natural environment. I'll take questions, please.
Thank you. Are there any questions of Mr. Nemeth?
So the questions are ready.
Sorry?
Just to speak.
Okay, go ahead.
I'll try to answer your question, but if I don't know the answer, I'm not going to reply with something I don't know.
I'm just going to speak, maybe you'll like what I have to say. Okay. I want to move that we receive the report, that's number one. I want to direct administration to develop an ecosystem and wildlife awareness strategy for future consideration, and I think that's the two recommendations here.
That's under 14.1.
14.1, yes. Especially as it relates to our upcoming plans, official plans, because there is a lot of planning taking place in areas that are environmentally sensitive, and we need to get our head around it better. What Mr. Nemeth has said is absolutely important. The animals have to have somewhere to live, and they can't live when we continue to build homes in environmentally sensitive areas. And then I would like to propose three more things, and I've read the staff report, but which I don't agree with all of it. The first one is that we spend $2,440 from the existing town budget to put up signs on areas identified in Appendix B around the great, the Big Creek watershed.
Thank you.
Especially the sign that I most like is that identified as S1 hybrid with graphic. It's something you don't see every day, and I think it will be much more visible to people rather than the standard triangular signs on the lookout. I'm saying all of those things, Mr. Nemeth, because you are absolutely right. We need to start developing a policy at home. This is where we live. This is where we can accomplish things. You can't accomplish everything in far-off Ottawa. And let me tell you, after 13 years at Queen's Park, I know you often can't accomplish anything there either. But here we can do these things. And I know that $2,440 is not in the existing budget, but it is money that will be well spent. And I would ask staff, after those signs go up, to take a look. You have a whole bunch of statistics there of all the animals that have been killed in the last little while. I'd like to look at the statistics after the signs go up to see whether there has been a drop. Because I would think that there will be a drop if people know it's a sensitive area. Hopefully they will slow down, they will be more cognizant of what is around them, and that they won't be killing things just because they're there. And I thank you, Mr. Nemeth.
My thinking, Council approve, is that once the signs are up and they're recognizable, and they're all the same, once people see them from a distance, they won't have to read them. They'll recognize a sign and they'll slow down immediately.
Exactly.
Hopefully.
Okay. Exactly. And that's why I like this one.
Okay, I got to look for a seconder now, okay?
Okay.
There's a motion on the floor. So, seconded by Councillor MacArthur. Any other questions by any of the councillors here? No? All in favor? And that carries. Thank you, Mr. Nemeth.
One other thing I'd like to say while I'm here, I'm not going to be able to. Visitors walking to Point Pelee. Big Creek watershed here in Emmitsburg is recognized as a much more prevalent and a place where the birds and wildlife want to be. And yet, what are we doing? Nobody's walking to the Big Creek watershed. I don't know why we can't have boardwalks on the east side of the new Lingro Center where people can go in there and enjoy wildlife.
Thank you.
There's
Mr.
no reason we can't have that
Thank
at all.
Thank you, Mr. Nemeth.
I take the opportunity while I have a chance.
Thank you. Thank you. Okay.
Thank you, and I appreciate it.
Thank you for your time. Okay, moving on to 14-2, Walnut Drive Water Main Replacement and Roads Improvement. Can I get a motion? Councilor Prue, Councilor Simone, any questions on the matter? All in favor? And that carries. Number 15-1, development agreement for the North-South County Road 20. Can I get a motion? Councillor Simone, seconded. Councillor Prue, any questions? Councillor Courtney.
Just one quick one. I actually talked to Frank beforehand. I looked at the official plan. I'm now into that, and it is designated Mullen Center as place to expand, and I agree with that. It's another great pocket out there. We've got a nice park and recreational facility. Yours could use the extra business, there's no doubt. It's not on a floodplain and a septic, so we're not worried about the infrastructure there. My question is we're doing it 5 homes. That whole section of land is designated in the official plan as future residential. Is there a bigger plan for this area than just these 5 parcels of land along County Road 20? And if so, is there a better way to attack this instead of 5 houses now and 5 houses later?
Through you, Acting Motion. It's a great question. Obviously, when these type of applications come in, we always recommend pre-consultation. We do have a town policy which, if you're doing anything 5 lots or less, you can go through the local community adjustment. If you're going 5 lots or more, need to go through a plan of subdivision. The best answer I can give you is when we're assessing these applications is we would discuss with the applicants what their long-term plans are. If they're going to go over 5 lots, we would recommend they go through a subdivision. I said this one was done last year. I assume that they're 5 lots at this time, but if they did come back and say, now we want another 5 lots, I think that's when the staff would have further pre-consultation with them to try to see what their bigger picture is for two of the subdivisions.
Fair enough, thank you.
Councilor Pro?
Yes, I was on the committee of adjustment when this was discussed, and this has taken you a long time.
You want me to address that?
No! Several years at least since.
I started in 2013.
And you're still going?
I'm still going.
Yeah, so I think he has tried to obey all the rules, and I trust that these are the only 5 houses. If there are more, please let us know, because if they're anywhere near any endangered species or wildlife, I think we want to turn a new corner, okay? But I was pleased to have moved it, and just surprised to see it after all this time.
I almost gave up.
Thank you. Any other questions? Okay, all in favor? And that carries. Oops, yeah, 15-2. The development agreement for the west side of concession 2 north. Can I get a recommendation? Can I get a motion on the recommendation? Councillor Reynolds, seconded. Councillor MacArthur, any questions? None? All in favor? And that carries. Yeah, that's this next one. We're going to now deal with 16.1 and 0.2. The 3 and 4 will be split. So we'll deal with 1 and 2 first. Can I get a motion on that recommendation? Councillor Reynolds. Seconded by Councillor MacArthur. Are there any questions? Councillor Pruitt.
It's not so much a question as a limiting motion. I agree with 1 and 2. I agree that we received the report, and as per the Municipal Act, I agree to authorize the mayor to be absent due to illness and receive our medical treatment. This, however, reads until such time as the attending physician deems him fit to return. I think that council has an obligation to the citizens and the residents of Amherstburg that we time limit this, at least a little, because if you just pass this now, this can be for the entire term of council, and I am reluctant to do so. I understand that he is under treatment. He has indicated that he hopes to be well soon, but I would like to limit this for a period of an additional 2 or 3 months with a follow-up letter from him and or his physician to indicate whether or not he will be well enough to return. I think we need to do that on behalf of the citizens. So that's what I'd like to move. If we could limit that to a period of no more than 3 months to revisit this with additional information.
Yes, and we do have to keep in mind that, as we all experience it, you know, specialist appointments can take 2 and 3 months. So, but at the same time, I spent an hour and a half with the mayor. He's eager to get back. He's, you know, on the road to recovery and looking forward to getting back. Can I get a seconder? I got a seconder. Sorry, I got another question here. Sorry, go ahead. Okay, the seconder, can you, are you in agreement with the amendment?
I'm okay with that amendment, yes.
Okay. And the move, so the mover?
Yes.
And Councilor Clark.
Okay, it was kind of vague because you said 2 to 3 months. My heart goes out to the mayor. I want him to return. He was voted in. There is language already in there. It was part of the report that pregnancy leave or parental leave of up to 5 months is in the Municipal Act without a resolution by council. I think that's a good number. It's 20 weeks. I'm willing to extend it to the 20 weeks because it's already kind of existing there. If the mayor had a baby, he's out for 5 months if he wants to be, and that's the reality, right? Not him having a baby, I'm saying. We know our goals. So I'm saying that I would like to amend it, the amendment, yes, to extend it to the 20 weeks, at which time 18 or 19 week it gets brought back, if it's going to be passed, we need to obviously come up with a more solid solution moving our town forward. And again, this position of mayor is the top dog spot, and it's vital, it's very important for the success, and I give props to all my councilors. I think we're moving the town along. I think it's going in a great direction, and we're doing a good job. But realistically, the mayor is the poster child. That's the bread and butter of the town, the spokesman. So I would be fair to the 5 months, the 20 weeks. It's already in the municipal act. It's set with the parameter on there. 2 to 3 months, that's the wording that I heard from you, Councilor Prue. 2 to 3, 3 to 4. I just want
3 to 4.
I want solid, solid. I think if we stay 20 weeks and then it's addressed at the 18 week mark and figure it out, would be a better way. That's my suggestion.
Thank you, Deputy Mayor. Just a seat clarification, Councilor Courtney, are you requesting that it be 20 weeks from the date that he originally was absent or from today's date?
Yes, no, from the date that he was absent. We're adding to and continuing on with what
we're adding to.
Adding to it, yeah.
But that would be from today then, not from the first date of absence.
No. It's going to be cumulative. I'm just saying we're extending beyond to a maximum of 20 weeks where we'll revisit it.
Okay.
Total of 20 weeks. So whatever week we're on right now, it just continues to go.
Through you, Deputy Mayor. It would be 20 weeks from the April 23rd date, correct?
This last time as the chair, yeah.
Which takes us to when?
I'd be more comfortable if we just set a demarcation point at today and picked a solid number. I think 3 months is a fair number, and then there's no fuzzy math going back. We can just start today. 3 months, we see what happens in that time frame. We can have the same discussion 3 months from now.
Councilor Reynolds, awesome.
Yeah, I agree with that. I think we need a firm date 3 months from today's meeting, and then we can reevaluate where we're at.
Okay, we'll have a vote on that now, on that motion. All in favor?
Which on the amendment?
On, no.
Clarify.
Okay, clarify.
Thank you, Deputy Mayor. The motion for consideration is that the report from the municipal clerk dated May 30th regarding request for absence from council be received, and ask for the municipal act section 259.1c, Mayor, although DiCarlo be authorized to be absent from meetings due to illness and receive medical treatment for a 3 month period from June the 24th.
Go ahead.
I just heard a comment from the crowd about who's running the town in the meanwhile, so I just sort of want to address that in general. Deputy Mayor Leo Malash has stepped up into the chair. It's been a bit of a learning curve, I'm sure he would attest to, but he's going into it, and he's putting in a lot of time, and he won the pasta eating contest, okay? He's doing good things for the town. I go to a lot of town events, as is Mark and Pete and Patricia and Councillor Prue. They're representing the town as well. I think Aldo he's earned a grace period. It's 3 months, we talked about it later, but he still answers emails on behalf of the town. He's still on Facebook, he's still on Twitter, he's still actively promoting the town, and I think he's had our back for over 4 years, and it's time that we have his back, and that's why I'm happy to be 3 months.
Go ahead.
Just for a point of clarification, I guess. So if we give 3 months from today's date, it would go to, but if we go 3 months from the April date, what would that bring us to? Would you mind?
Go ahead.
The mayor is allowed that 3 months from the April 23rd date. So if you were to go 3 months from, so July 23rd would be the 3 months that he's allowed, and then you would extend it another 3 months from that July 23rd date. Yeah. Or
no, three months from today.
Sorry, I just wanted to.
Everybody's clear that it's 3 months from today. And I will ask for a vote on that. All in favor? And that carries. Sorry, well, I'll have to move to my paper. My mouse is dead. Okay, on to item 16.1, item 3 and 4. The appointment of to the county council as an alternate. Can I get a motion on that?
Are you looking for a volunteer? What are you looking for?
Well, we can do it as a volunteer if we want, or we can do it as a motion. That somebody be nominated or appointed?
I'll volunteer. I
don't
want to vote
myself. Okay. Anybody else interested? No? I guess. Oops, sorry. Mr. Reynolds, you are interested as well in the position?
Yeah.
Okay. Anyone else? Okay, I guess there's no questions that need to be asked, so we'll vote on that, and I think we'll take a recorded vote on this one, okay? Oh, okay, yes, we do need someone, to be moved into the position first. Yeah, thank you, I'm sorry. We need somebody to be moved into the position first so we can vote on it, and then we'll go through the process. And that one is okay. Sorry.
I'm going to make a motion that council approve be the designate or the appointed council alternate for the 2018-22 term council.
Okay. And is there a seconder on that, Councillor Simone? Okay. All in favor? And that carries. I guess we don't need it. Now, item 4 is the bylaw to appoint the alternate. Can I get a motion? Councillor Small? Seconded. Councillor Courtney? All in favor? And that carries. Item 16.2, breach of confidentiality. Okay, can I get a motion or motion? Councillor Simone?
Motion based on the information presented by the clerk's office and a personal and confidential email to council that no further action be taken.
Okay, a seconder on that? Councillor Prue? Any questions? All in favor? And that carries.
Yeah.
Moving on to items 17. Sorry, 16. Yeah. 17, yes. Moving on to item 17. Okay. Sorry, I'm experiencing computer issues.
I would like to be divided. I wish to vote for 17.1, but not
17.2. Sorry. Okay, you asked to have that one divided?
Yes.
Okay, so noted. So on 17.1, can I get a motion? Councillor Simone, seconded. Councillor Reynolds, all in favor? And that carries. 17.2, can I get a motion? Counselor Prue, seconder?
Well, yeah, it's good what I would say. I don't wanna move what's here.
Well, I understand, but we'll get a seconder and then you can discuss it. Or you can.
I'm not moving what's here.
Oh, you're not moving what's here, oh.
No, no.
Well, then state what you're moving, I guess.
State what you're moving.
Well, if I can, I believe that this document is vital to be released to the public of Amherstburg. What this is a document which was prepared by.
So, excuse me, Counselor Prue, excuse me. No comments from the audience, please, unless, you know, you're called upon. Thank you.
Okay, what this was a document that was prepared for the then Amherstburg Community Foundation at a cost of $12,000 by an individual who lives and works here in Amherstburg. The document should be released to the public. The document was supposed to advise the then Amherstburg Community Foundation on how they would go forward to raise additional funds. That foundation or those members of that foundation no longer occupy a position on the foundation. It is being taken over by new people. The new people headed by Mr. Petty et al., and there's a number of people who are on it, have clearly indicated they have no objection to the document being released to the public of Amherstburg. They had no objection to it coming to council, first of all, and had no objection if council released it to the public in general. That being said, there is a recommendation that this be private, and I have searched at great length through orders on whether or not something can be held in private or the rationale given given in the report. It says that it's being held in confidence because it is of a scientific or other nature which will not allow it to be released. This is patently not the case. In my former life as an ordinary person living in Amherstburg, I went before the Information and Privacy Commissioner of Ontario on exactly the same request that the town had made at that point to determine whether or not documents could be released where the town said the head shall refuse to disclose a record that reveals a trade secret, a scientific, technical, commercial, financial, or labor relations information supplied in confidence implicitly or explicitly if the disclosure could reasonably be expected to, it was a number of things. This is not the case. This document was not provided to the town. When people were asked where did the money come, the statements were made by the mayor, by Mr. CAO and others, and I have no reason to doubt them, that the money was paid for exclusively by the then Amherstburg Community Foundation. That document has been turned over by the new foundation chair to the town, and I believe it should be made public. The public has a right to know where the $12,000 came from. The public has a right to know what was recommended, what was paid for, what use it can be made of it. Mr. Petty has already stated to me, and I know to Mr. CAO, that they have no intention of using this report. They have no intention at all. But I think the public has the absolute right to see what $12,000 bought.
Okay, Councilor Gordon.
Not to sidetrack from Councilor Prue's request, which will address my questions and concerns. This was a drop ball from the onset. The transparency and optics of this organization was confusing to a lot, and it might have been on the up and up. But, and correct me if I'm wrong, the residents were told that there were members of administration and there were members of council on this board of directors. Correct me if I'm wrong, that there was account, bank account, with money in and out for this foundation, somehow jointly, and maybe Mr. Russo, you can, was part of the town accounts with money in and out for this organization. Is that true or is that false?
The bank account is listed under Amherst Community Foundations, and was held in conjunction with the online banking of the town of Amherst as well. I had access to that as the treasurer of the Amherst Community Foundation.
Here lies the concerns. I mean,
but just a point of clarification, that bank account was not the town's bank account. That was
correct.
The Amherst Community Foundation.
I understand that, but it's a fine line. I mean, there's service clubs in the area, Rotary, you know, you've got Optimus, you've got Kinsman, you've got everybody. They are separate entities. They do donations to the town. They do fundraising to give donations to the town, which is nothing different than the Amherst Community Foundation. They are a third-party entity. They have their own bank. They have their own bank account. They collect the money, and then they earmark it, and they tell the town, we want to buy this piece of equipment for the children in this park. And that's the premise behind the ACF. But the ACF was too directly affiliated. The town was too tight to that, and that's where the problems
I think we have in the past reported to council and camera. It is not just with the Amherst Community Foundation. Also occurs with the Bellevue Conservancy. So we have made recommendations to council to separate ourselves from those entities simply for that reason, to separate the areas of responsibility. And that was recommendations that administration did make to the previous council in camera.
Okay, well, we're out of camera, and that's the recommendation. So, and where are we at with this? So there's nothing, they're still linked in some fashion, or we are now, it's done. Everything's, all the ties are.
With the Amherst Community Foundation, that is done. Bellevue Conservancy, it is not.
Okay, that being said, because the account was still affiliated with the town, is there any kind of documentation in and out? So, accounts receivable payable out of that account? Are we privy to? Because it sounds like the town had some direct contact with this administration in monies in and money out. And I think herein lies the concern. $12,000 was, and again, I understand this is third party. Nobody's questioning the donor wants to give $1 million to an organization, and that organization spends $950,000 on a way to raise money. I guess you're not going to get a donation again from anybody else. So I'm not questioning the fact that somebody, $12,000 was invested to come up with solutions to earmark and raise money, but because it was tied to the town, way tighter than it should have been, is there a way to at least, now that we're severed, the accounts are done, do we have past record of these accounts that for transparency we can publicly show money in, money out? I mean, obviously not specific donors' names and things like that, but donation of expenditure here. Is there a way for us to get that?
I'll speak as the former treasurer of the ACF. All of the reporting requirements for the ACF to the CRA and the charities directed are made and have been completed up to the year end. All of those are online through the charity directorate and can be viewed by any citizen at any given point.
Perfect. Thank you.
Councilor Poole, you had your hand up?
Well, yes, I just wanted to say it is absolutely correct that the Bellevue Conservancy has not yet formally been divorced from the town, but the process has been undertaken. The bank account is open, and it is simply awaiting the transfer of the remaining funds from the town to the Bellevue Conservancy. That's what I understand is correct.
I believe the funds are being transferred from the new ACF board.
From the new ACF
yes.
board, and as soon as that, then everything will be divorced, and you're absolutely right. Everything will be divorced.
Well, ACF will be divorced from the Bellevue Conservancy. The Bellevue Conservancy is still not divorced from the town.
No, not entirely. Okay.
That is the issue.
The Bellevue Conservancy, holding a fundraiser tonight, which I was at, is attempting very strongly to raise the necessary funds to
correct.
Complete the building, so that the taxpayers don't have to. Yeah.
That is correct.
Okay.
Well, I'm still looking for some kind of a motion.
I second Michael's motion.
Okay,
you're
sorry,
motion.
Yes, okay, but as, okay. You had a comment?
Well, no, I think the report should be released. I don't think there's not a lot of there, so let's, I think we should just release it.
Okay.
As as the author of the report, if you, through your worship, to the councillors. I did seek explicit clarification from Mr. Petty on releasing the report. I was not provided that. And in an abundance of caution, I did provide that in private and confidential memo. Should council see it fit to release the report, that's under council's purview. But my responsibility, like I say, is to protect the town, and I did not receive clear instructions to do so, so I did not do that.
On the motion, all in favor? Opposed? Carries. Moving on to item 17.3, September 10th, 2018, breach of confidentiality administrative investigation. I need a motion to receive. Councillor Prue, Councillor Reynolds. Any questions? All in favor? And that carries. Moving on to item 18, consent correspondence on 18, 1, 2, and 3. Can I get a motion? Councillor Prue.
I will move all three, but I would like them split as well.
You would like them what, sir?
Split.
Split? Divide. Okay. Okay, on item 18, 1, you're making a motion to receive 18, 1?
18, 1.
Seconded by Councillor Courtney. Would you like to speak to the matter, Councillor Brew?
No, I only wish to speak to 18, 2.
Okay, all in favor?
But
oh, sorry.
I just, for the record, I want to say I don't agree with that. I mean, receive it, fine, we don't take any action, but I think we should sell beer and wine in corner stores. And I don't drink.
And we do in McGregor.
Yes, we do. We do it right.
Okay, all in favor? And that carries. Item 18.2, can I get a motion? Councillor Prue.
Yes, I move that we receive it, but also that we write back to the province of Ontario saying we support the town of Georgina resolution, which is to try to get rid of single-use plastic and all the things that we have said so many times very well in this council.
Thank you. Seconder, Councillor Simone. Any other questions? All in favor? That carries. Item 18.3, can I get a motion? Councillor Simone? Seconded? Motion received was Councillor Simone, seconder. Councillor Reynolds, all in favor? And that carries. Consent, other minutes. And a motion on 19.1. Councillor Simone, seconder. Councillor MacArthur, any questions? All in favor? And that carries. Unfinished business. Any unfinished business? None noted. Moving on. I see a hand half up.
For new business.
Okay, and new business. Okay, Councillor Prue?
Yes, at the first meeting of the audit committee, a request was made by those in attendance, which was the full audit committee, including Councillor Simone and myself, that the terms of reference be expanded. They have requested that the terms of reference that were presented were not sufficient. And I think everyone agreed, at least I personally agree. I think Councillor Simone is indicating she agrees as well. They have requested that the terms of reference used by the previous council form the basis of their duties and obligations as a committee of council. I have those terms of reference. They were prepared by Tyson McMahon, effective date January 12, 2015, and they are simply asking that these, that were in the last term of council, be extended now to this one. And I have a copy here for the clerk if she doesn't have it.
I have it.
You have it, okay. So that would be the motion. What this does is it allows a much greater opportunity for those on the committee, three of whom are auditors, Councillor Simone, Simone and I are not, but they certainly were fired up about this. Not often you see fired up auditors. They are requesting, in a nutshell, that they be responsible for financial and other reporting, so to guide development, to make recommendations to council. The whole list is contained here under mandate 6.1 and 6.2 of last year's memo.
Go ahead. Through your worship to council. At the meeting, I think one of the things that was discussed is that we would not only provide a report to council, but the resources required to assist them in developing their mandate. I did have the opportunity to review audit committees in other jurisdictions, some of the ones that were referenced by members of the audit committee. For example, the city of Mississauga, with regards to the number of resources that they have to them. So I think what was being discussed that evening, Councilor Prue, was that members of council would ask administration to bring back a report on expanding or reestablishing those terms of reference along with the resources required to assist.
I'd be absolutely guilty for not including that. Yes, I wish to include that as well. A report to see what costs, if any, might be borne. I don't know how much costs were in the last term of council. I think not a lot. But if you're going to go into something as huge as Mississauga or Burlington or possibly even Windsor, then yes, I can anticipate that might cost. But let's try to keep it on the cheap and still give them this opportunity.
Need a seconder on that? Councilor Courtney? Any other questions? All in favor? And that carries. Moving on to notice of motions. Oh, sorry.
Please.
Councilor Simone.
Just in regards to the accounts payable, I was just hoping that to ensure accountability, I would just like to see it re-added to the agendas.
Any seconder on that? Councilor Courtney, any questions? All in favor? And that carries. Councilor Courtney.
Thank you. Just a couple concerns that were brought forward by a resident. Apparently a flower basket across from Shoppers fell, shattered. I guess the concern is if somebody was walking near it or under it, could have been hit. Are we making sure the anchoring hooks and things that are fastened to the light standards, that everything, because I know they get heavy, you weigh them down with water. Is there any?
Good question. I'm not sure I can answer right now. Parks does put the baskets up with a man lift. I'm assuming that they're inspected at the time, but we may not even have the skill set to identify whether they're structurally sound. So please tell me we have to get back.
Okay.
Your worship.
Sorry, Mr. Mitchell.
In my previous role, I will tell you that this. We will confirm it, but typically the anchoring system that is used to hang the baskets is designed and engineered for those poles. I'm not sure if it was actually the chain that broke or if it's actually the anchoring system. So we'll have to take a look at that and get back to you on that one. If it was the chain, that's something that's easily repaired. If it's the anchoring system, we may actually have to change the pole or change the location.
I just bringing it to the attention of administration. And secondly, I am for development, but another concern, I guess a little girl almost got hit by a car at the corner of Simcoe and George. There was an excavation and a house being built, and there was dirt, piles of dirt along the whole section, that whole corner. Like, they just excavated through all the dirt on the sidewalks on both streets. I went there today, I got pictures of it. I guess to administration, is this permissible? It doesn't make sense to impede and block pedestrian wheelchair accessibility any sidewalk, but there's dirt that's been sitting on there for 2 days.
Thank you for the question. We'll have to look at the individual situation. Typically we do, for visibility, ask for piles of dirt to be
if you would forward that to us, we'll certainly investigate it.
Okay, yeah. Sounds good. And then last one, I mean, we've had some contentious things here. I want a feel-good one. I would like to direct administration to move this ball forward. I talked to Deputy Mayor Malosh about this. I'm sure Councillor McCarthy, when we were campaigning out in McGregor, Boulevard Park's getting taken care of, so there's money going there. The one request that came back quite often was, it would be nice to have safe travel along County Road 10. A sidewalk of some sort, whether it be a cement asphalt extension with, you know, like on Texas Road, somewhere they can access out to the Greenbelt. There's accessible living house right there, and the lady that ran it, she said it would be so nice to get our residents to be able to get them out of the driveway and then roll down the sidewalk and just take them down the trail. Riding bikes, kids riding bikes, we're talking about safe exercise. Is there a way? I just would like to investigate what the cost. I know it's a county road, but I heard the expense would be on the municipality if we choose to put a sidewalk on it. Correct? Or
I'll first comment on that. I've been fighting that for 4.5 years.
What are we fighting?
And it is on the budget list, okay, like everything else. Money is, you know, being allocated. I'm not going to sit and argue that, you know, it's a heavily traveled road. We have 156 houses that feed onto that middle side road that have no sidewalk. These residents can't even walk to our park without having to walk on the side of the road. Park being Coyne Park, I'm talking about. Essex put a sidewalk from Walker Road to Coyne Park, but we have nothing going west from Walker Road that would feed all these houses over to the Urca Trail. And I know there's money allocated in the budget, but it's not been what I'm going to call a higher priority.
Are you seconding my motion then?
And I can't second the motion. I just want to make a comment that that has been been working on. I'll let Antonetta talk about it further if she wants to.
Through you, Deputy Mayor, if that is correct, we would be responsible for a sidewalk, obviously, even though it's on a county road. It has been on our long, I wouldn't even say long-term budget, it has been on budgets in the past, and council has considered it. However, it's never made the final budget. It continues to be on the budget, the long-term budget that you see in your budget package, but it has not been approved as a project to move forward with. Again, it's council's decision if that goes forward, but as of right now, it's not included in the budget.
Is there a report actually on potential costs? Have we gone as far as to decide whether cement sidewalk or asphalt abutting with a, you know, a safe strip? I mean, whatever's cost effective is going to be. I don't think we're asking for a brand new cement sidewalk, but do we have a report?
Through you, Deputy Mayor. It wasn't a report, it was just a number in the budget, but it was an engineered calculated budget number.
For cement or for asphalt?
I believe it was asphalt, but I'd have to double check.
Okay.
And so Council, the CEO would like to comment as well.
Through your worship to Councillor, the question becomes is if you're looking at other opportunities, I heard you mention one, accessibility. So for example, the previous Council and Accessibility Committee did use some of their funding to create accessibility to go to Seasons. If that is something that council wishes us to consider with the accessibility committee, to look at something of that nature, because they have $50,000 that's allocated to them on an annual basis, that is something we can consider speaking to the accessibility committee about. I'm just not sure with regards to the cost estimates, if the $50,000, what it would do. I don't think it would, but it's just there's some secret.
Just all I'm seeing is like, let's heavily investigate it. And I mean, if it's accessibility as well, there might be some funding from another government. I mean, let's investigate it and let's get something happening here. Like, we got to have a plan of action. I mean, so that's what I'm putting a motion for. Let's get it on the table. Let's get the ball rolling on this.
Councillor.
I'll second that. I agree with everything he said.
Any other questions on the matter? I'll ask for a vote first, okay? And okay, and on the motion, all in favor? And that carries. Thank you, everybody, on that matter. Councillor Poole.
Yes, it's just a question. I'm not sure whether anything can be done. understand that the Heritage Committee was concerned about a bridge, and it's about to be built, and I think we're probably long past being able to do anything about it. Is that in fact the case? This is the bridge near River Canard on Concession Road 2. It's kind of a unique old bridge.
It's a bull bridge.
Yes.
I
read all the stuff, and it looks to me like it's just too late.
The simple answer to that is yes, it's too late. I think what I can tell you, Councillor Prue, is that administration has taken the concerns of the Heritage Committee seriously with regards to what can we do to recognize the Bow Bridge. We had an internal meeting today and had a discussion with regards to paying some acknowledgement to our past. And what we have secured with our design builder is that we're going to look at either through some inlays in the new bridge that's going to be constructed, something that will demark what was there previously. And we are also going to further expand that by looking at creating storyboards for that area. Not that we're going to promote walking or people to stop in the middle of traffic there, but we're going to pay respect to the fact that there was a bridge there, that it did have some historical significance to the town, and that we're going to recognize our past and our future.
Well, I thank you very much, because I do understand coming in very late in the game here. Other towns have taken those old bridges and made them into pedestrian and cycling bridges, and then built a new one beside. That would have been ideal, but I wasn't on council. I cannot second guess what was decided, but at least something has been done, so I thank you.
And Antoinette, maybe you can correct me on this. The problem also with that old bridge wasn't the deck too low now because of the rising levels of water?
Through you, Deputy Mayor, that is correct. We had inspections done of that bridge back in 2016, and there was numerous issues structurally, and obviously the height of that bridge, the width of that bridge. A report was brought to council at the time, and we did document or consider all of the concerns of the Heritage Committee, but in the end it was just the safety and the liability that we put in place if we tried to rectify or to repair that current bridge in its current state. So that was the decision of council at the time.
Thank you, Mr. Prue. I'll bring up one matter. I've had a conversation with the CEO about it, and I know there's a resident in the audience that has called me on the matter, and it's the Concession 5 North Road. It's in horrible shape, and I've talked with Mr. Michelli about, we do have a plan, a roads needs plan with that rates every road, but there may be some conditions sometimes where one may advance, deteriorate faster than maybe what was originally, what the engineers originally estimated. And so I've just sort of, we're in the discussion stage right now of just looking at that, and Mr. Michelli has told me that the roads needs study is coming up for review again. I don't know, Antoinette, maybe you can answer that question. When is the next roads needs study?
The next study would be in 2021.
Oh, that far away. Okay.
Yes.
Yeah. So at the end of the day, there are some roads that are becoming, dangerous, but concerning, in that we have to look at what we do, whether that's tear the asphalt off them. I made a comment, you know, and people don't want to hear that, but I'm going to say it anyway, is, you know, gravel road, back to gravel roads, and at least is hopefully a little smoother than what we have now. That's not what we want to see, but unfortunately limited funds are going to tie our hands a bit. And again, it's not what people want to hear, and I understand that. Just want to let everybody know that we are talking about it. Okay, moving along. Notice of motions? Any notice of motions? No? Next item, Number 23, bylaws, 23-1, 23-2, and 23-3. Can I get a motion? Councilor Prue? Councilor Simone? All in favor? And that carries. Motion to adjourn. Councilor Simone? And Councilor Courtney?
The rain's over. That's my OCMS move.
I'm caught on to your tricks. All in favor? And that carries.
Really?